to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 374. I'm your host, Josh Wiener. Along with me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. Tonight, we will catch up on the news of the last 48 hours, and we will talk about AEW Dynamite. But before we can get to any of that, Seth, Jared, how the hell are you?
Well, I don't think we'll be going over this time around. There is some news to talk about, and a lot of fun wrestling stuff to talk about, so I'm ready to get to it.
Pretty much same here. We did a longer bit the other day. There's some things that happened we probably won't talk about very much, just to, you know, in the interest of not being terribly sleazy. So let's look forward to not talking about some news.
But there is other news to talk about, and we have an update on Seth Rollins from the man himself. According to Seth Rollins, as he appeared on a podcast with Daniel Cormier and reported by various outlets, he said, and I quote, "The MCL will heal with time. We'll get in there. We'll do some stuff. We'll check out the PRP and do some rehab. I'm hoping to be back at full strength in around a month," Rollins said. "Around a month is kind of my timeline, and we'll see what happens. We're going to take it day by day. I'd like to be back in a month." So he's going to go hardcore on the rehab. He also said in this podcast that the ACL is intact, and that's the most important one. So
okay,
he kind of lucked
that
out.
That is good news.
Yeah, he kind of lucked out.
So yeah, I will just reinforce what I said last week. Good on him if he's able to make it work, and hopefully he won't have to take any time off. We'll probably know a little bit more after Mania, but yeah, there's never a good time to be injured, but definitely right before Mania is the worst time. So here's to hoping he can do everything he wants to as far as any build up or how the match is going to go.
Yeah, this is probably the best news he's going to get. And, you know, with, like I said the other day, with him being, you know, an elite level athlete combined with, you know, the best in medical care, I have no doubt that he's going to rehab quickly and we'll be back. And I'd rather have him do that than continue beating it up and hurting it anymore.
And the best part is his mouth still works, so he can cut promos. The next piece of news is WWE planning a shift in the television product. According to PW Insider, we are told that the talk at Raw on Monday and at WWE HQ on Tuesday was that the company will be incorporating some sports-centric elements into the programming. Cody Rhodes being interviewed on Raw, quote-unquote, earlier today, complete with the clock listing the time, was an example given of trying to root the product in stronger realism. We are told that interviews will reflect this as well. So no other details are really given, but we've heard this before from AEW when they were initially doing their rankings and things. And so I think this is good. I don't want them to get carried away with it. But as long as it's, you know, done correctly, I'm kind of cool with this.
Yeah, I've always said I prefer my sports entertainment to have about as much emphasis on the sports as it does entertainment. There's definitely ways to do that and still have a different feeling product. So this is good news to me. I've always liked wrestling when it still kind of tells you with a straight face that this is an athletic contest, even if the outcome is predetermined. So stuff like this, I think, definitely does, as I like to say, it doesn't make you think it's real, but helps you forget that it's fake, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, a good presentation is, you know, it goes a long way to enjoying the product. And we know WWE's production team is amongst the best in the world at doing this kind of stuff. I'm just hoping this means you can get rid of that crappy CGI stuff that they do for entrances and things. If they're going to focus more on the sports part of it. I mean, I kind of contradicted myself saying their production team was great and then crappy CGI, but that's the one thing I'm really not a fan of is the CGI stuff in front of some entrances. But if they're going to replace
like
that,
the giant Roman towering over and bellowing as he basically walks out from under his own gonads.
Yeah, pretty much. you know, the big Drew McIntyre sword and that kind of thing. I mean, that does really nothing to add anything for me, but replace that with a sports centric thing. You know, we're used to watching hockey, baseball, football on TV and all the graphics and stats and all that kind of stuff. If they're going to do that, maybe that's that extra layer that we need. So yeah, let's see what they do.
You mean you didn't care for the CGI doves flying out of Riddle's feet when he flipped his flip-flops off?
Oh, dude, that was the worst. I'd forgotten about that until you brought it up. So thanks for placing yet another silly image in my head.
Well, let's do less CGI and more drones. If you remember from the Saudi show where the drones did the Bray Wyatt logo, amazing. In the last piece of news, it's being reported as a new allegation, but if you read the details, it's actually an old allegation that's just coming to light, because Vince McMahon and others have been named in a sex trafficking, sexual exploitation allegation. And it's stemming from 2021, and Vince had already agreed to pay her $3 million in hush money when the payments stopped after the initial million. She decided to speak out about this and take it further, and that's what was released today. I'm not really going to say anything else about this. I'm just going to give you the quote that was provided by TKO Holdings. And it says, Mr. McMahon does not control TKO, nor does he oversee the day-to-day operations of WWE. While this matter predates our TKO executive team's tenure at the company, we take the victim's horrific allegations very seriously and are addressing this matter internally.
Yeah, that's one of these things. I mean, I'm not really going to be able to say anything that isn't already said. I mean, we've all known this for a very long time, the underhanded things and some downright sleazy things, not just in WWE, but I mean, the industry in general has had a lot of these stories. It's that type of thing. So there's nothing for me personally that is surprising here. I'm obviously, as I always say, I am an innocent until proven guilty. I believe everybody has their due process. Everybody should have their day in court. Everybody should have a chance to clear their name. We'll see what happens, but there's nothing in these stories that surprises me. I guess that's the best thing I can say.
Well, I think it kind of surprised me in that, well, we knew what happened before the previous allegations, let, you know, Vince retired. We always knew he was sleazy, and we could sit here and talk about that for a prime cut episode, but so I won't do that. But at the same time, it's like, this is a whole new level. And I wasn't quite sure that Vince would be able to perhaps stoop to that. But again, you know, I'm with you, Seth, you know, innocent until everything comes out. But given Vince's history, I'm pretty sure this is what it is. So I guess we'll just see what happens.
Moving on.
Yep.
AEW from last night. I'm going to hit the highlights. They are not in any order. I do apologize, but we will talk about what we can. Hangman Adam Page defeated Penta El Zero Miedo. Swerve Strickland defeated Jeff Hardy. Wardlow defeated Trent Barretta. The AEW Trios titles were defended successfully by the Acclaimed as they defeated the Mogul Embassy. And in the main event, Adam Copeland defeated Minoru Suzuki. We also had a wonderful interview segment between Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. That was, as always, amazing. And not for anybody who was in the arena. I guess they might have had it on the big screen. But for everybody who watched it on TV, Tony's half of the TV was in black and white, and it was awesome, while Deanna's side was in color and Renee was in color. It was great. We also heard from Sting and Darby Allin, and they laid out a challenge to the tag team champions of Ricky Starks and Big Bill, and they will have that match in 2 weeks' time. thoughts on Dynamite?
Well, if I understand it correctly, the way a lot of these matches were going was to establish the records and kind of the pecking order for world title shots. That's fine. But that said, doing stuff like Hangman versus Penta, that to me, at least, I'm only speaking for myself, that seemed like more of a marquee matchup than to just kind of have it be, well, this is to establish rankings. That said, it was a great match. I do think they've been dropping hints that the Hardys are turning heel soon. Now, why you would want the Hardys as heels, I'm not sure either. And I definitely enjoyed the Adam Copeland, the Minoru Suzuki match. I'd seen some of the feedback of people saying it was like a random match with no build. And I'm just like, the story and the build literally is it's an open challenge. And Edge actually complained that no veterans were taking him up on the challenge. So one of the baddest veterans around stepped in to take the challenge. I mean, do you really need any more of a build from that? And that's without even getting in whatever Suzuki's schedule might be. I mean, he lives in Japan. It's not like you can just say, hey, we need 3 weeks of build for this. No, I'm not a promoter. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe they only had him for a small window. But yeah, I really liked the show top to bottom. It was probably one of my more favorite episodes of Dynamite in quite some time. And I believe, according to the numbers, it was the number two show in all of cable next to one of the Real Housewives reality shows, which is a predominantly female audience. To give you an idea, Dynamite actually beat all the sports that were on. It beat the NFL, the NBA and the college basketball games that were on. So just take that for what it's worth.
No build to an AEW match and just a good match. Have they not been watching AEW since inception?
I think the more important thing to take away here is it didn't beat a Housewives show. Kind of being facetious there, but I've got this one on the DVR. It sounds like I have another amazing Tony Storm segment to watch. Always enjoy doing those. So yeah, looking forward to it.
There was a good interview segment or a backstage segment between Renee, Swerve, and Hangman.
Yeah, that was good too, yeah.
So I like that they're establishing not only the rankings and everything, but how Hangman and Swerve are kind of like jockeying for that position. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling at Revolution it's going to be a triple threat.
Yeah. Could be one other thing I'll add. The show opened up with the Samoa Joe promo. And it's one of those things, if you ever had any doubts as to whether Joe was a heel, babyface, or tweener, I know the kids like to think fondly of the term tweener these days. Make no mistake, Joe's a heel. He came out there and said his thing about, you know, this isn't a title shot, it's just your opportunity to get an ass whipping or something to that effect. But then what happens when somebody comes out to stand up to him? He calls for security. That's not what a badass does. A badass doesn't send minions in to do his bidding. So just for anybody confused as to whether Samoa Joe was where he was, he is clearly a heel because he walked away from a fight.
By the way, speaking of that segment, we were all wondering how they were going to follow up with Hook. The follow-up we got was probably one of the worst promos I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. He gets in the ring. You won. I lost. And then he sticks out his hand and he shakes it. I forget what else he says. Something to the effect of, I'm going to get my shot again one day. Yeah. That was it. That's all he said. Mm-hmm. And that was the follow-up. And he beat up the security guards. Great dropping the ball there, Tony.
Well, I know what I'm fast forwarding.
No, watch Joe fast forward Hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the Joe part is great.
Yeah. Your comment, Seth. I mean, Joe is the great badass yet smarmy heel, right? Like in the ring, he's bad on promos. He's well, not bad, but badass. Promos, he's badass. And then it's like just showing that little bit of ass, right? To be
exactly.
The, yep. to be this army one. Yep.
Here's the thing. It wasn't like he was doing it in a way that he wasn't a chicken shit heel. He said, now security, get this. I forget what he called them.
Unworthy, I think the word was.
Yeah, get the unworthy out of my ring. So that wasn't really chicken shit heel or smarminess. Or it was more cocky than anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, get this. If he was like real William Regal, he probably would have said, get this ruffian out of my ring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Joe. The suits are a bit much, but I guess it fits his character. So yeah, I'm digging it. They plug some matches for the weekend, and I'm glad I have Collision on DVR, because one of them is going to be the return of Serena Deeb. I'm not ditching Royal Rumble for Serena Deeb, but I will watch her on DVR. This will be her first match since 2022. She was out all of last year. So I'm looking forward to that. And just as a programming note, as a reminder, we will not be speaking about Rampage and Collision this week unless something earth-shattering happens, and we will work it in. Tomorrow night is Friday, and we will be recording our Royal Rumble predictions show, along with anything from SmackDown that might impact the show or that just might be entertaining enough to talk about. And then Saturday, we will be recording immediately following Royal Rumble with our immediate thoughts. So I think we've kind of been burnt out a little bit this week, so we're just gonna cut to the end. And once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We will be talking to you for the next 2 days straight, and until then, once again, we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X. At TWBPShow, on Facebook at facebook.com/BehindTheSquaredCircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.